ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारा रीडिंग फ्रॉम द 10th कैंटो चैप्टर नंबर 15 टेक्स्ट नंबर 1 श्री शुक उवाच ततश्च पौगण्डवयश्रितौ व्रजे बभूवतुष्टौ पशुपालसम्मतौ घाश्चारयन्तौ सखिभिः समं पदैर् वृन्दावनं पुण्यमतीव चक्रतुः श्री ट्रांसलेशन Shukdev Goswami said, when Lord Ram and Lord Krishna attained the age of Pauganda, 6 to 10, while living in Vrindavan, the cowherd men allowed them to take up the task of tending the cows. Engaging thus in the company of their friends, the two boys rendered the land of Vrindavan most auspicious by imprinting upon it the marks of their lotus feet. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Lord Krishna wanted to encourage his coward boyfriends who had been swallowed by Aghasur and then stolen by Lord Brahma. Therefore, the Lord decided to bring them into the palm tree forest called Talvan, where there are many delicious ripe fruits. Since Lord Krishna's spiritual body had apparently grown slightly in age and strength, the senior men of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda Maharaj, decided to promote Krishna from the task of herding calves to the status of a regular cowherd boy. He would now take care of the full-grown cows, bulls and oxen. Out of great affection, Nanda Maharaj had previously considered Krishna too small and immature to take care of full-grown cows and bulls. It is stated in the Kartik Mahatmya section of the Padma Puran, Shuklashtami Kartiketu Smrita Gopashtami Budahi Taddinad Vasudevo Bhud Gopah Purvam Tu Vatsapaha. The eighth lunar day of the bright fortnight of the month of Kartik is known by authorities as Gopashtami. From that day, Lord Vasudev served as a cowherd, whereas previously he had tended the calves. The word Padaihi indicates that Lord Krishna blessed the earth by walking on her surface with his lotus feet. The Lord wore no shoes or other foot gear, but walked barefoot in the forest, giving great anxiety to the girls of Vrindavan, who feared that his soft lotus feet would be injured. So we are reading from the 10th canto, chapter 15, entitled The Killing of Dhenuka, the Ass Demon. So this is the first verse of this chapter. So it gives me some freedom to give you an overview of what this chapter is and go a little bit in detail of this pastime of killing the ass demon. It's indeed a great fortune and an honor to be given this opportunity to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam in front of an exalted assembly of all of you devotees. It is said, Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsyamekam Amalam Jnanam Param Giyate Tatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahitam Naishkarmya Mavishkritam Yat Shrinvan Subhadhan Vicharana Paro Bhaktya Vimuchyen Narah. So Srimad Bhagavatam Amalam Puranam, it's considered to be the topmost Purana, the essence of all the Vedic literatures. And it is very dear to the Vaishnavas. Devotees love discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. And what does the Srimad Bhagavatam contain? Contains transcendental knowledge, the knowledge of renunciation, the knowledge of devotion, Yat shrinman supadhan vicharana paro. And if a person regularly, carefully hears the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, he studies the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he contemplates on the message spoken from the Srimad Bhagavatam, then such a person, he becomes completely freed from the clutches of birth and death, attains devotion to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. This is the only path. Vedaham etam purusham mahantam aditya varadam tamasa parastat tameva viditvati mrityumeti nanyah pantat vidyate yanaya. Shvetashvatara Upanishad explains that there is no other path that I know of which can award complete purification, liberation from the bondage of birth and death. There is no other way. Vedaham etam purusham mahantam. There is only one path, that is, if you know, if you have understood Lord Sri Krishna, if you have developed devotion unto Lord Sri Krishna, that is the only path. There is no other path that I know of. Tameva viditvat mrityumeti nanyah pantha. There is no other way save and except hearing regularly on the basis, discussions on the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is so important to hear, and it is so important to speak, and it is so important to contemplate, and therefore it is an extremely great fortune that I am here to speak here by the blessings of devotees. So, Bhakti Vinod Thakur writes in his Chaitanya Shikshashtakam, the commentary on that what are the obstacles to Braj Bhajan? What are the anarthas that a sadhaka must overcome in order to come to the platform of pure devotional service to Sri Krishna? In order to be able to chant the holy names in Vrindavan? In order to be united with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna? Now, the 10th canto is the quintessence. It is the summum bonum of Srimad Bhagavatam. It contains the most essential tattva, that is a ras leela of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which represents the union of the living entity with the Supreme Lord, the culmination. One is united with the Supreme Lord. But before the Lord performed the Rasleela, he performed the demon-killing pastimes, which he's indicating, Lord is trying to make a point that before you reach me, you'll have to be purified of these anarthas, which are personified by these demons whom the Lord has killed. There are demon-killing pastimes, and there is Chirharan, and then there is so many pastimes which leads to finally the lifting of the Govardhan hill, and finally the Rasa Leela. So they're all connected, basically. They're all connected. So here in this chapter, the killing of Dhenukasur has been discussed. So Dhenukasur is an asura. Dhenukasur, two words, Dhenuka, asur. Asur means demon. He has come in the form of an ass. And the pastime goes that, as it is said here, Lord Krishna wanted to encourage his coward boys who had been swallowed by Aghasur previously. And now he wanted to give them a break, wanted to give them some entertainment. So he brings them there in order to give them a treat of tal fruits. But the coward boys, they make a request to Krishna. Before even Krishna says anything, the coward boys tell Krishna about the history of that place known as Talavan. So Talavan was inhabited by this demon, Dhenukasur. He was living there, and he was guarding the fruits. And he would forbid anybody from entering that place and from touching the fruits. And it is not that he was eating the fruits himself. The fruits would just fall off and they would rot. But he would make sure that nobody touches his fruits. So, the coward boys, they make a request to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna as to why this demon has taken possession of a public place. It's meant for everybody. And why is he encroaching upon that place? Everybody should get a share of it. And they express their desire to eat the fruits. And they say, "Oh Lord, please, you know, Krishna, please give us those fruits. You can kill them, you are very strong and mighty. So why don't we have a treat of tal fruits?" So it is explained that these coward boys are making a request. They are asking for a favor from Krishna. They are telling Krishna, "Please, you know, give us these fruits." Is it right to ask for favors from Krishna? The acharyas explain, you should not be asking favors from Krishna. If you have love, if you have devotion for somebody, if you truly care for somebody, then you should not ask for favors, you should be giving favors to somebody, to that person, naturally. So this gesture of the coward boys is quite contrary to the principle of pure devotional service. One may question that, why? What are these boys doing in the association of Shri Krishna? If they are selfish, if they want to eat, you know, it doesn't look any different from the general people who are coming to the temple, offering flowers, offering garlands, and offering so many things to the Lord. But in return, they beg for favors from the Lord, which according to a Shastra is not considered to be pure devotional service. You offer a flower, with every petal in the flower represents one material desire. You know, as many number of petals, that many number of desires. So people are going and asking and begging. So it is explained that they are not asking for favors for themselves. They know that Lord wants to eat, Lord wants to enjoy the fruits, and therefore he is asking on his behalf, on behalf of the Lord, because they know that Krishna wants to eat the fruits, and therefore Krishna may not ask himself, so therefore he's asking. They are doing that for him. Just like sometimes, you know, father may tell the son that let's go for an ice cream. Sometimes the father may tell the son, "Let's go for an ice cream or a chocolate or something like that." Sometimes the father may say very enthusiastically, even though he doesn't like to eat ice creams or chocolate. And then the son may say, yeah, let's do it. So similarly, the coward boys, they have no selfish desire, absolutely. So they're just coming to the Lord and they're making a request on Krishna's behalf, actually. So they're telling, "Please help us get those fruits." So finally they go inside. Balaram and Krishna both go inside, and Balaram enters into the forest. And he takes his sash and ties it around his waist, and he, with his mighty arms, Balaram, Baldev, the Lord of enormous strength. So he holds the tree and he starts shaking it with all his might. And fruits start falling, and Dhenukasura is very disturbed by that. And he's thinking that, "What is this? Who has entered into my forest? How dare somebody has audacity and the courage to defy my authority?" So then he immediately comes very angry, and he, with his hind leg, he starts braying loudly, and he comes and he kicks Balaram on his chest. So the Bhagavatam describes that Baldev lifts his, you know, picks up the demon, holds his hind legs with both his hands and swings him, and the whirling motion kills him and throws him into one of the tal trees. Tal trees fall and on the other tal tree, and there's a cascading effect, and all the trees fall one by one, and that causes the death of the demon. Now in Garga Samhita, it goes a little deeper into the pastime, which is very interesting. So it is explained that when Baldev holds the feet of this demon and throws him, he falls on the tree and he again falls to the ground, and he again comes and he reveals a very fearful four-horned form of the demon, and manifests that form, and he starts chasing the coward boys. So Krishna is with many of his other friends. He's with Sridhama, Subal, Stoka Krishna, Arjuna, Amshu, and all these other boys. So the demon, he started chasing these people. And the coward boys are running for their lives. But then finally, Subal, he turns around and he hits him with a stick. And Subal is there and he punches him with his fist. And Stoka Krishna had a rope in his hand and he's whipping the demon with that rope. And then there is Arjun and Amshu. They pick Dhenukasura and they throw him. And then there is Vishal and there is Rishabh. And they kick him. And then there is another coward boy whose name is Tejasvi. He didn't know what to do, so he just climbed on Dhenukasura and started strangling him. And then there is Devaprastha. He comes and he slaps the demon. And and then there is Varuthaba. They were playing with a ball, so he takes a ball and hits the demon. So that way. And then Krishna comes and holds the hind legs of this demon and swings him around and throws him to Govardhan. Now Talavan is between Mathura and Govardhan. So he throws him to Govardhan. So this demon falls there and he becomes unconscious for an hour. And he again comes back and he attacks Krishna. And with his horns he picks up Krishna and he goes into space, goes into the sky. And it is mentioned he goes 800,000 miles into the sky. I just checked up I did a little research and I found that actually the moon is 2,40,000 miles from the sky, and they went 8,00,000 miles from the ground. So they went into space basically. It was Star Wars fighting in space. And the Lord, he holds his. And anything is possible with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Lord catches him and throws him from that height, and he falls to the ground and he smashes all his bones. He becomes again unconscious. And then again the Lord throws him to Govardhan. And then this demon, he picks up Govardhan and he throws it at Krishna. Generally, we think that Krishna was the first person to lift Govardhan, but it was not Krishna. It was Dhenukasura who lifted Govardhan. So he lifted Govardhan and he threw it at Krishna. And Krishna held it and again threw it back on him. And he held it back and again he threw it at Krishna. And then Krishna threw it back into its place. And then, when he attacked Balaram, then he attacked Balaram. And Balaram then picked him up and whirled him, and the centrifugal and centripetal forces detached his soul from his body, and he got flung and he threw him into a tal tree, and the tal fruits and all fell down and all the trees fell off and the fruits fell to the ground, and all the coward boys enjoyed the fruits. Of course, it is said in the Shastras that the coward boys didn't eat the fruits immediately, because it was contaminated by the blood of Dhenukasura. So all the low class people who were living in the forest, they ate those fruits. So it's a very simple story which occurred, but there is a lesson that we have to learn, which Acharya has explained to us, that the Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains that Dhenukasura represents a gross materialistic attitude and ignorance of spiritual values in our lives. And he didn't, and he wanted to hoard. The symptom of materialism is that you don't want to share. Basically selfishness. And therefore he was killed for it. That's why it is said, you know, in the Niti Shastra, it is said, asanam me vasanam me jayo me vargo bandhu me iti me me kurvanam kale virko hanti purushajam. Asanam me vasanam me. A person who is used to saying, this is me, this is mine, this is my wife, this is my children, this is my house, this is mine, mine. In Sanskrit, mine gets translated into me. So it is said that a person who is habituated to say me, he is like a goat. And what are goats? What do? They basically get slaughtered in the slaughterhouse. Me, they do that. Me. So they are slaughtered. What the devotee was saying, that may, who does? They get slaughtered, and then from their skin they make this tambura. And then tung, 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 tung sound comes. So may becomes tu. So basically, you know, we're thinking me, so important, but what we should be saying is tu, which means that Krishna, you. And the whole world is basically only concerned about themselves. Because nothing belongs to us. Everything belongs to Krishna. Isha vasya midam sarvam yat kinchit. And that it is explained in the Shastra also. In the Narad Muni Prasanga. Asataha Shri Madandasya Daridram Paramanjana. Atma upamyena sarvatra daridraha paramikshate. When Narad Muni sees Nalakuvera Manigrivi, and he is thinking that these people are intoxicated with his possessions. And therefore, for a person who is intoxicated, asataha shrimadandasya, when a person is shrimad, if a person is, mad means intoxication, shri means wealth. If a person is attracted or attached to wealth, then he becomes blind. He is unable to see reality, he is unable to feel empathy for others, for those who are underprivileged, and he does not care to serve them. So as a remedy, as a solution for his disease, the Supreme Lord, being like a doctor, administers medicine. And what is that medicine? Takes away whatever he has and makes him impoverished. And in such a situation, he realizes what is yatha kantaka vidango jantur nechati tan vithan. It is explained in the Bhagavad that when you are pricked by a thorn, then you realize how much it pains. So the Lord will make a person experience all the miseries of life in order so that he realizes what it is to when others suffer. So therefore, the principle is that we have to be considerate towards others and serve, because satisfaction comes through service, not by being self-centered. And if you really want to say that this is mine, and in fact, everything is ours. There's no doubt about it that we actually own everything. And we say, this is mine. But the problem is not in saying that this is mine. Because when you say this is mine, this building is ours, this flat is ours, this wife is mine, and this husband is mine, these children are mine, and this country is mine, and this car is mine, this mobile is mine. We say the whole world is mine, but one person we don't say he's. And the Lord is standing there with his flute and he's thinking, when will this person say, I am his? And he's thinking, when will he include me in the mine? Because truly, when we say, Krishna, you are mine, and then truly everything belongs to us. Because Krishna says we are all children of God, Krishna. And if everything belongs to Krishna, then naturally we own everything. Just like a father who's maybe a multimillionaire, his children will naturally inherit the property of his father. All the son has to do is just be a good son. Just do whatever is necessary in order to inherit the property. Just don't rebel, don't run out of the house, follow what the father is saying, be obedient, be loving. And naturally everything will come to him. So it's not wrong to say that everything belongs to us. But the problem is when we say, this is mine, we exclude Krishna from that. And Krishna is waiting there, it's waiting to see, when will this conditioned soul say, lovingly, Krishna, you are mine. And that is the folly which Dhenukasura has done. And just see what people do generally, this mentality, we can see Dhenukasura mentality, that he's stashing all those fruits and it's just getting rottened up and it's not being used by anybody. And that's what, as we can see in the modern world, in the modern scenario, that people are just accumulating, politicians, bureaucrats, they're basically accumulating so much of wealth, and so much of wealth is being stashed in Swiss banks in in Switzerland, and so much of money is being squandered. For what purpose? And they die, and all those crores and crores and crores of rupees is just wasted when it can be actually used for public welfare and so many other things. So actually this principle, this Dhenukasura mentality is very predominant. And unless a person does not learn to share, if you care, then you must share. Share your care. So symptom of love means that you must share. Krishna says, patram pushpam falam toyam yome bhaktya prachadi dadaham bhakti uparadam ashnami prayatatmana yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhoshi dadasi yat tapasthi gonte yad kurushvam adarpanam. That offer the fruits, patram, pushpam, falam. And here we can see that Dhenukasura is not offering his fruits to Krishna, and therefore, because everything belongs to Krishna, he has to take it away. And he killed him. Then the story goes that when he was killed, what happens? That is amazing. That when he was killed, from the sky, a transcendental airplane appears. It is being pulled by 10,000 horses. It had a 1,000 wheels, it had 1,000 flag posts, and it was decorated by gold and jewels, tinkling ornaments, and it was 8 miles long, Garga Samhita explains, and there were 1 lakh residents of Vaikuntha, Golok, in the chariot with chamara whisks to receive Dhenukasura's soul. Dhenukasura had manifested a wonderful blackish form as a resident of Golok spiritual world, wearing pitambar dhoti, and he was received into the, and he took he circumambulated Krishna and Balaram, boarded the chariot, and he proceeded towards Goloka, far beyond the material world. So Garga Samhita explains, so it is shocking when in Garga Samhita Narada is explaining the story to Bahulashva, and he's asked by him that how is it that such a sinful person, Asura, gets killed and then receives such a destination? What is his past? And then it's explained that Dhenukasura, in his past life, he was Sahasika, the son of Bali. And he was once sporting with his wives. And he was disturbing, making a lot of noise. And unfortunately for him, Durvas Muni had a kutir there. And Durvas Muni, he came out and he cursed him, saying that you are acting like an ass, and therefore I curse you, you become an ass. And therefore, he took birth. 400,000 years later, he took birth, and he was in Talavan. So therefore, we can see that that this tendency, to be sensual, is so predominant. But somehow or another, because they were in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such a demon who had no qualification whatsoever, and he was killed by Balaram, he was not killed by Krishna. So that is another principle which it is explained, that here Krishna is telling that this anartha of materialism, you need Guru's help. Balaram represents the Guru. Haladhar. Haladhar means one who has a solution for everything. Hal means a solution. So he has a solution for this problem. And therefore, some demons have been killed by Balaram, which represents the Guru's role in removing that anartha in our hearts. So he was killed by Balaram. And when Dhenukasura appeared there, he was killed. And so it is explained that even though he was a demon, he got in touch with Krishna and he was purified. So, somehow or another, if we connect with Krishna, it is Sankhityam Parihasyam Va Sthobam Helanameva Va Vaikunthanam Grahanam Asheshaga Haramidu. that somehow or another, if we get connected with Krishna through his holy name or through, then we will get purified. Asankalpa jait kamam, krodham kamam varjana. Gopya kamad bhayat kamso, dveshad chaidya devan rapaha, sambandhad vishneha sneha duyam bhaktya vayam vibhu. That the gopis got connected with Krishna through love. Gopya kamad bhayad kamso. Kamsa connected through fear. Dveshad chaidyad yon dripaha. And Shishupal was connected with Krishna by way of his envy towards Krishna. Snehad and the Vrishnis, the Yadavas, they were his Krishna's family members, and therefore they were related by way of familial affection, and because of which they attained perfection. And you, the Pandavas, Narada is saying that you people, out of love for Krishna, and we people out of devotional service, our regular devotional service, we have perfected our lives. So any connection with Krishna, you can see that Renukasura was such a big demon, but because they got connected with Krishna, somehow or another, we have to connect with Krishna. The greatest evil is not even being sinful. The greatest evil is if we are separate from Krishna. We may be sinful, that's okay, but we have seen that even Shishupal, if you connect with Krishna, the least you will get is mukti. So we have to just simply connect with Krishna. And that is it. Sankityam parihasyam va sthobam helanam eva va. Even if you have taken the holy names by way of blasphemy, if you are just, you know, teasing somebody and you are taking the names of the Lord, you are still got the benefit. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Once there was an article which appeared in the newspapers. Two newspapers, two articles, one favorable, one unfavorable. And they said, just see, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So he made his disciples count the number of times the holy names was mentioned in both the articles. So the unfavorable article contained Lord Krishna's names more number of times. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, that is more, that is better. Because the blasphemy which has been done, that people will forget, that's temporary. But the purification, the effect that so many people have chanted the holy names of the Lord is eternal. And therefore, it is of more value than that favorable article which they have given, but it is not. And therefore, it is very important to somehow or another connect with Krishna. We were doing book distribution this time in Gujarat, and I visited one place known as Dakor. And it's a nice place. It's a spiritual, very nice deity of Lord Krishna is there. And there is a history of one wonderful devotee who is by the name of Bodhana. Bodhana. Now, this Bodhana, he was, every Ekadashi he would go to. So, he was, became very old, many years, throughout his life he used to go, every year, far off distance from Dakor, he used to go to Dwarka, many miles, thousands, hundreds of miles, he used to go walking, they had no transport system, they had no buses, they had no rickshaws, nothing, through the forests he would go. So he became very old, and he, Lord appeared to him, in his dream. And told him that, see, you've become very old, so don't worry. Next time you come, this will be the last time. So he said, why? He said, because I will come with you personally. He said, really? So what should I do? So he said, get a bullock cart next time when you come. So then he brought a bullock cart and he came, reached Dwarka. So as usual, the googly brahmanas, the brahmanas of the local temple there in Dwarka, googly brahmanas, taking care of the deities there. So they asked him, so Bodhana, what is this bullock cart? Why have you brought a bullock cart this time? They said, Lord is going to come with me. So they didn't take him seriously. They thought he's joking or something. But nevertheless, the Lord manifested, the deity form manifested, and took the reins of the bullock cart. And the next day, it rode back. The Lord rode the bullock cart back towards the home of Bodhana, Thakur. So when the priest opened the temple, this is a story which is actually said, it actually took place. So when they opened the gates, the doors of the altar, they didn't find the deity there. So they got a doubt that this Bodhana has stolen the deity. So they take their spears and lances and their weapons and they go towards Dakor. And it is, there is still the place where there is a neem tree on the way to Dakor, between Dakor and Dwarka. There is a neem tree where it is said that Lord Krishna actually held the, one of the branches of that tree. And therefore, all the leaves of that neem tree is bitter, but just that branch has got sweet leaves. It's sweet to taste. So he appeared there and all the googly brahmanas came there and Bodhana was very afraid. He was thinking, what I should do? So Lord Krishna said, don't worry, I'll take care. So he put me in the water here. There is a Gomati tank. Put me in the water there and you go and meet them. Take some yogurt or something and receive them properly. So he goes and they ask him, so do you have the deity with you? So he says, yes, I have the deity. So before he said anything, the brahmanas were so angry that they took a spear and they threw it at him and killed him. And they killed him. So Bodhana became, he was killed, and then his, but as soon as he fell, his body turned into a heap of flowers. And blood started coming out from the deity within the lake. And then the Brahmins realized that, oh, they have performed a great mistake. It was the Lord's will, that's why he's here. So then he comes, they come there and they fast on the banks of the Gomati tank, waiting for the Lord to come with them. And the Lord said that I'm not going to come with you, you go from here. And then they said, no, we are not going to leave, and they're fasting. And then the Lord said, I will give you gold in return of my weight. So with that gold you make another deity and then you worship there. It will be non-different from me. And they said, no. They said, gold, how are you going to give us gold? Okay, give gold. And then the Lord appeared to the wife of Bodhana and told that weigh me and put your nose ring on the other palanca, on the weighing scale, and you give them. And they put the Lord's deity on one palanquin, balance, and they put the deity on another and the nose ring on another, and it actually measured equal, and then it was given to the Brahmins. But still they did not go. And then the Lord told them that you go, in 6 months' time another deity will manifest. And when it will manifest, you can worship. It will be non-different from my form. So they go back. But they couldn't wait for 6 months. Within 5 months, they dug up that form. And therefore, it is said that the form at Dwarka, even today, is smaller than the original form which is there at Dakur. It is small because they prematurely dug up the deity. So what happened? Now, that was the pastime which we hear. Now, but what is the history of Bodhana? Who was he in his past life? Now, that is also explained. He was in Vrindavan. He was one of the associates of Krishna in Vrindavan. And during Holi, he did not come out. During a festival time, Holi, he did not come out, due to which maybe his separatist mentality, he wanted to be separate from Krishna. Or some things, some anartha was there. So Krishna goes, changing his form, he goes to him. And plays with him. He changes his form as another coward boy. Goes with him, plays with him. And after some time, he reveals his form. And then Bodhana, in that form, in that previous incarnation, he realizes his mistake. And he tells, I'm sorry, I did not come out. Krishna says, because of this anartha, you'll have to be born again in the age of Kali Yuga. And that will be your last birth. And after that, you will be liberated from this world. So this is a very interesting story, that how should not be separate. The message is that somehow or another, if we connect with Krishna, the purification is done. And therefore, importance is that somehow or another we have to connect people. And therefore, even when we are doing book distribution, we tell people, please take this Bhagavatam. Hold it in your hand. Chant holy names like that. So that is the... So we can see here that Denukasur was such a big demon, but still he was purified by his contact with Sri Krishna. And it is explained here that you need the assistance of Guru. Balaram represents a Guru. So we can't approach Krishna directly. So we need assistance of Guru. Yeah. and Guru has the solution. I was just recently reading in one of the sections where Gaur Govind Maharaj was giving one of the talks, and he was saying about the story of Bhakti Devi. When Narad Muni was traveling, he comes to Vrindavan and he finds one lady along with her two sons, along with two old men. They were lying there. And Narada asks her, "Who are you?" And she says, "I am Bhakti Devi, the personified form of devotion." And then Narada said, "Then who are these two people?" And she said, "It is my two sons, Gyan and Vairagya, knowledge and detachment." So then Narada asked, "How is it that they are old? And where have you come from?" And she says, "I am Bhakti. I was born in Dravida Desh, South India. I was raised in Karnataka. I grew up in Maharashtra. I traveled to Gujarat where I lost my youth. All three of us became very old. We came to Vrindavan and I got back my youth, but my two sons are still old." And then Narada said, "Oh, is it? Don't worry, I have a solution for you." And then Narada, he starts reciting all the Upanishads and the Vedas and everything, but there was no difference. And finally, when Narada, he chanted the Srimad Bhagavatam, they got back their original forms. And then Bhakti Devi asks that, "Where am I going to reside? There is no place in the age of Kali Yuga for me. Where do I stay? Where does Bhakti, Jnana and Vairagya stay?" So Narada says, "Don't worry, you enter into the hearts of the devotees." And then she enters. So therefore, if a person wants devotion, then he has to go through Guru. And Guru has devotion in his heart. And how does one access that devotion? When the Guru speaks, just like when there is a well and you are taking water out from a well, if you are standing close by, you may get a few drops on your face. So just like that, Guru has devotion in his heart, and when he speaks, that devotion is manifested. A few drops may sprinkle and enter into our hearts and we may get devotion. And therefore, the role of Guru is very important. And that's why I said, it may not be easy to surrender to Guru and obey his instructions, but still it has to be done. Yata khanan khanitrena naro varyadi gacchati tada guru gatam vidya shushru kshuradi gacchati. Niti Shastra says that getting knowledge out, getting the devotion out of the guru is like digging a well in the ground, which may not be easy, quite tedious, you know, dig a hole and everything. So a man has to put a lot of effort to dig the water. So similarly, through his service to his Guru, he can actually achieve the lotus feet of Shri Krishna. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that another anartha which Dhenukasur represents is the ignorance of the oneness of Krishna, the personal form and the holy name. When one is ignorant of that fact, then that is another anartha. And South Indian acharyas, they say very nicely, they give a very good example that there are various forms of the Lord. One is a paratva, the form of the Lord in the spiritual world. Then there is vyuha, the four expansions of the Lord for the purpose of creation. Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. Then there is the avataras, vibhava, forms of the Lord. And then finally there is archa, which is the form which contains all the previous forms. Then there is the bhagavata, another form of the Lord. You can make a deity out of many things, you know. You can make a wood and you can make of marble, and this is Vedavyasa has made it out of his words. And another form is the name, which is, Acharya has explained, is very wonderful, because The other forms of the Lord is like a mine of gold. You may have a gold mine. But if somebody gives us a block of gold, we can't do much with it. But if somebody makes some ornaments out of that gold, then you can wear it and it's so wonderful. Usability factor. So similarly, the holy name is like an ornament. Archa and all other forms may be like the gold mine. But when you make it in the form of an ornament, then you can wear it very nicely. And it's good usability. So therefore, it is explained that the ignorance of the fact that the Lord's personal form and the Lord's holy name are the one. This has to be understood very carefully. And this is represented by this pastime of the Enukasura. And therefore, it is explained that the Yuga Dharma is to chant Hare Krishna. Naam Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Pab Pranashanam Pranami Dukkha Shamanastam Namami Harim Param. That the process in the age of Kali Yuga is to chant congregational chanting. Naam Sankirtanam. Kaler Dosh Nide Rajan Asti Eko Mahan Guna Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Rajit. That this is the Sankirtan movement. That is the process majorly which we have to adopt in order to come out of this situation of Kali Yuga. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki, Jai Gaur Premanande.